Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hello, everyone. How are you all doing? Come on in. Sit on down. It's time for another episode of the live Q&A. It's Wednesday evening for me in the UK over here. And for you guys in America, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure what it is for you. It varies, but I think it's about 3 o'clock, maybe 4 o'clock, and perhaps even 5 in the evening for some of you over there. I'm doing this show later than usual. I've been kind of backed up and busy trying to sort some things out with the wife. Organize, move money around, shift things from savings here and there. Because some news on the car front, we found a car, it's coming tomorrow, and we needed to get the money to pay for it tomorrow. Otherwise, we're going to kind of miss the opportunity. So, yes, we pulled it together, and thanks to the help from you people as well, who generously supported me when I asked for help, we can now avoid getting a very extremely high interest loan, because it turns out people like me are not allowed to have loans that don't have low interest. It's payback pretty much double of whatever you borrowed or nothing at all, basically. But thanks to, obviously, God and the help from you guys, it seems like me and my wife can actually get the car relatively stress-free. Though I'm still borrowing about $4,500 from my father, which again is just by happenstance luck he has that money. I say luck, it's not really luck. Inheritance recently came through. So it's one of those things. Not much, but something came through that was left after the state took it all for care home costs. You know how it is. But anyway, yeah, luckily that's all panned out. Me and my wife were just trying to figure out how the hell we're going to pay for this thing for tomorrow. But luckily we do have a family car on the way. It all worked out, which is amazing. Now let me just quickly sort something out here, because it seems like my webcam didn't register, and I can fix this. I'm going to fix this. Here we go, and I'm here. You can see me now. Yeah, so the show starting later than usual. It's 20 past 10. It may go for maybe an hour and a half, just because it's hard to squeeze out a full two-hour show at this time at night, you know, and get sleep with two kids and the rest of it. And it's been a good, it's been a relatively interesting day for me, actually. Something happened this morning, which kind of threw me off guard a little bit. I suppose it wasn't a bad thing, and it's just something that kind of reminds me in a very tangible way about what I'm doing here online, because it can feel quite nebulous sometimes when it's just me talking to a camera, you know. But me and the family were pulled up to Lidl, and we were trying a new supermarket because we're trying to save money on food, because food prices are just ridiculous these days. And no, Lidl's, I worked for Aldi, kind of like Lidl's rival. And I don't want to shop at Aldi anymore because screw that place, you know. so we thought we'd try and see if Lidl's cheap, if it's any good. And we pulled up this morning, and someone, as soon as I got out of the car, I'm there with a baby strapped to my chest. I'm wearing like sweats, covered in black joggers, covered in white sick. You know, I'm greasy as hell. I hadn't had a shower. Just tired. We've been up since like 5:30 in the morning, you know. And some guy pulls him. He's like, "Paul, you don't know me, but I know you. I watch your channel. Like, great stuff. You really helped me." And I was like, "All right, fair enough. Thanks, man. You know, God bless and everything." And I was just thinking, like, from his perspective, what did I look like? Like an absolute mess. An absolute just. I was just I don't know. I was not prepared. I wasn't at my best. Let's say. You know, it just made me laugh. Because it's kind of, you know, you forget like the real world impact this type of stuff actually has on people. And, you know, I try not to think about it because it's too kind of, it's big, you know. If you think too much about it, you get too much in your head, and then who knows, maybe I'll freeze and not know what to do or talk about or something like that. Or maybe like nerves will randomly appear that never existed before. You know? Maybe I won't have that. I don't know. But I tend not to try and think about too much about the audience size and just crack on with talk about what I want to talk about. But it was nice to have somebody in the real world, you know, relatively close to home, kind of say like, yeah, you know, I watch your stuff and I like it and thank you. And that was a really humbling, nice experience. And again, I'm just trying to think from his perspective what we look like. Like I was a, yeah, but it's kind of shopping at a really cheap supermarket. I got my wife's 1.2 red Corsa there, and four of us trying to spill out of it. I'm carrying this baby. He's like, and looking tired as hell. It was just funny. Just funny. So that was an interesting morning. And like I said, the rest of the day has just been spent trying to survive with two kids, as it naturally is, you know, as it usually goes. And the shopping experience was horrible. But I'm here anyway. I'm here now. Live show. Errands run. Everything worked out and sorted. And again, I do want to say thank you to everybody who did support me. Obviously, I offered to send signed copies out. A good way to support me is to buy a book directly from me, which I can sign for you. And people did. I've got a full box here, all ready to go, all wrapped up and signed and everything. And then this box came, everyone sold out. And that's an amazing feeling. I do actually still have one book left over from the last batch, which I never managed to sell in the end. So if anyone wants a paperback of the Nephilim Black Clown signed, I have this one left in stock. So you can obviously just email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. It's £40 for paperback. That's the whole cost, including packaging. And I'll just send that out to you wherever you are in the world. So let me know if you're interested in having that, just to get rid of the last one. For those who did, people kept messaging me saying, I want a hard copy, and I'd sold out. And it's kind of, I'm saying to those people, I will get more stock in as soon as I can. But right now, all my funds to do that type of thing are gone. They've all just gone into this car. So I'm literally at zero at payday. So I can't really afford, even in my business expense account, to buy more books in. So maybe a month's time. Maybe earlier if I get lucky, I'll have more hard copies coming in, and I'll email those people who ask saying they're here now. If you want one, just let me know. But yeah, the response was overwhelming. People obviously reached out and helped significantly, and we can't thank you enough. Me and my family just cannot thank you enough. Like it's, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. You know, all glory to God. It's a miracle. It's a miracle it all worked out, because this was a major worry for us. I've never wanted to get into debt and owe the bank a massive amount of monthly interest payments, especially over a car of all things. You know, it's kind of like a fear of mine in a way, to be honest. And it's instilled in me from my example of my grandparents, who never really had a borrowed money, they always save for everything they bought type of thing. And that leading example is kind of ingrained into me. And it's just, yeah, one of those. So moving on from that anyway, people may know I did a show yesterday and I released it and it was about psychedelics. And I kind of want to continue today in this little opening presentation, just on that theme a little bit. Because I don't feel like we're done. I don't feel like I'm quite done with that topic in any way, shape or form. It is primarily part of my background. I come from the psychedelic community myself, exploring consciousness with different levels of psychedelic drugs and entheogens and trying to find my way to understand the world, you know, and before I was saved, all of this, of course. And it was my way of trying to find what is spirituality, what does it mean, what's going on, what's the meaning of all of this type of questions, which we, you know, which I think everybody has and is valid. And, you know, going towards that new age psychedelic exploration angle tends to be the go-to for especially my generation. If you don't know anything about God or Jesus or can't relate in any way, you kind of look everywhere else first. And that's what I did. And I learned a thing or two when I made this video yesterday, which is a reiteration of kind of videos I've made in the past. I've kind of said this a lot throughout the decade, you know. But I felt like it needed to be said again, because I feel like the psychedelic community and the new age community are like making new waves in the modern age, in this current like era, maybe the past 2-3 years. I feel like it's shifted a little bit. And they've kind of keep changing the mask of how they're going to present this ideology and this method of spirituality through drugs to people, along with this new age Gnostic Luciferian doctrine, kind of. And they keep changing the facade. And I made this video kind of explaining how now it's getting more clinical, more scientific, more legit, more like, you know, trust me, bro, we've done the science. This actually is like going to save you. This is going to make you healthier, more mentally clear. This is going to cure you of all your traumas and make you a better person and kill your ego, blah, 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 blah. It's like we've done the peer study reviews now, you know, we've done the tests inside. Science is telling us this is good for us. It's gone more clinical than it used to be, loosey-goosey, colourful, hippy-dippy chakra alignments, kundalini energy stuff. You know, they kind of shifted that optic away from that style over to the scientific, clinical, black-and-white paper, logistical style. And I was predicting, like, in the future, it's kind of the psychedelics are just going to be sold on the shelf. But they'll be packaged as, like, spiritual experiences, like, you know. Oh, you want to have a religious experience? Yeah, that's over there on L3, you know. And it's kind of, I feel like that's where it's going, as a replacement for a true relationship with God. It's kind of like you don't need to ask God to have a spirituality in your life, or a relationship with the Creator to have spirituality in your life. You're the Creator, and you can realize your true potential and have that mystical experience by simply just ingesting this particular chemical over here. And I feel like that's where it's going. I do. And with that, there's kind of something else I haven't really discussed, which I want to talk about today. Is there's been a resurgence of that hippy-dippy, loosey-goosey, new age, wibbly-wobbly, narcissistically egotistical, indigo children, star seed child, Arcturian channeling something or other, Galactic Federation loving type. Has kind of come back out of nowhere. And I feel like we had like a period of like maybe 5 to 6 years where they kind of just vanished. And now they're like back. It's like a new wave, a new generation of them. And I want to share some clips and videos of these types of people. And I legitimately forgot that these people existed, because I was around in 2012 when the Mayan calendar was coming to an end, as they say, you know, and cycle was going to begin again, and it was the end of the world, December 21st, you know. And during that time, in the build-up to that time, like, sacred geometry was in, you know. It was all about sacred geometry, spirit science YouTube channel. It was all about kind of just getting into that new agey stuff, like sacred geometry, connectivity to consciousness expansion, and all these type of things, the collective conscious understanding. The Emerald Tablets of Thoth were doing a huge round at those times, and everyone was so much into that thing, and it was a growing movement. Zeitgeist was at its peak, you know. Everyone believed Jesus was just a representation of the sun and copied all these other gods from the past, and it's kind of, even though that's been thoroughly debunked, by the way, and it's just complete bullshit, and there's no similarities actually, barely whatsoever, to any of these other gods. And Jesus Christ is just not a representation of the sun. He's not an allegory. It's not astro-theological. It's literal. He really existed as a person and did those things. And no real historian disputes that either. It's kind of... But the point was, these were big thoughts at the time. And Joe Rogan was pushing the stoned ape theory on everybody, which is a resurgence again of the 90s Terence McKenna thought process on mushrooms and psilocybin. And it's kind of this new wave was rising then in 2012, around that time. And there was a lot of people falling into that trap, and they are insufferable, you know. They're like so full of themselves and egotistical and talking about being a god, you know. And the channelers were around then. These people who are like channeling the aliens or the Palladians or, you know, the Arcturians or whatever you want to call them. They have these stupid names for them all over the place, you know. And they look ridiculous and they sound ridiculous and they swear down they're channeling aliens, okay? And now we know, realistically, here at the, as Connor would say, the cutting edge of conspiracy, like, that's all bullshit. There's no such thing as aliens in the vast infinite universes in space that come and communicate and seed our planets and whatever, and secretly created humanity on here to help us collectively expand our consciousness to become fifth dimensional, ninth dimensional frequency beings like them so we can enter the Galactic Federation of Light or whatever. Just again, just gibberish they come up with. We know it's an enclosed system. There is no space. There's no aliens. There's simply just God, the creator, his creation, us within it, made in his image, and then his angels who work for him. Some rebelled and then created a corruption within this realm, which we're battling with. And that's basically that, actually, that's it. And that's all the story actually really is. And what we have now are these enemies coming up with these stories, posing as being from vast infinite galaxies to spread the same doctrine that was done in the Garden of Eden at the very beginning of the rebellion and the corruption of man, which is that telling us we are gods and we shall be as gods. Just trust me, bro, do as I say, you know. And that's the real story. But is, you know, I think these people who are looking for answers and spiritual connection and probably in their own heart sincerely believe aliens are talking to them and trying to make them better people and to save the world. But they're just basically patsies. They're useful idiots. That's really what it comes down to. And I don't hate these people. I love them. I want them to open their eyes and realize they're being duped in a big way. They would say I'm just some primitive backwards idiot who can't see past these controlling religious mechanisms that were created to keep us in our bodies and to keep us not living in the light but living in fear, blah 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 blah. It's like, no, I don't live in fear. I don't have any issues with that. I'm solely grounded in the reality as God created it. That's how I'd like to describe it, and I want you to see that perspective too. And not be deceived by lying entities posing as angels of light, which they're not in any way, shape, or form. They're not your friends. They don't have your best interests at heart. And let's just watch some of these cringe videos out there, which have kind of proven that this has happened again. It's happening again. What I just described there was happening in 2012. And then there was silence for a bit, and it got all political and weird instead, you know, and we've had a hell of a ride over the past decade since these people were around, but they're back now again, like 10 years later, and they're doing it again, and they're pushing that agenda again, and it's everywhere now, and it's growing fast, and there's a new generation, I would say, of people who are now falling into the pit of channeling entities from space, so-called. Let's just watch some videos, shall we? Let's just get straight into this. And this is getting weird. So I saw this one originally. And let me just share the screen with you here. I quickly I saved the video so I can just click on it when we're going to go for play here. If I share the screen, I think you guys can see this. I don't know what it's going to come up as. I think it comes up randomly on the side. So let me just play this for you guys. Make sure the sound's coming through. And...
Someone explain to me the phenomenon of this personality type.
I am great!
It seems that in my lifetime, a new type of enlightened individual has emerged. Someone who claims to be able to channel godlike entities.
Feel the energy of the blue avians.
And aliens from other dimensions.
Here are three signs that you might be an Arcturian starseed.
They appear to be and present themselves as being extremely spiritual or in touch with otherworldly phenomena.
Yes, we are here! We are here, we are very happy to be here, yes indeed, dear one, yes, we are here.
But what's really going on here? Are these people part of a new spiritual revolution? Or is it simply an identity where people display themselves on social media as spiritually enlightened? Can living like these people suggest actually make your life more tolerable and meaningful? Or is it all a bunch of f***ing bullshit? You be the judge. Buy my shirt.
Buy my shirt at the end there. But yeah, you see what I'm saying, right? I mean, these people. Honestly, I forgot they existed because it'd been like a decade and they're back with a vengeance. And you heard the noises these things were making, these people were making. And what really, really cracked me up, and you see it right there in the middle of the screen, is I looked at the comments of this, and Brian from Demon Erasers, who, you know, has been on the channel, friends of JT and mine, and you know, I've been on the podcast a few times, and he's right there, and he's like, it's called Demon Possessions, bro. Like, he's just saying it straight. He's like, nah, they're possessed by demons, bro. And I just thought it was funny that he was on this video. Like, it just cracked me up that he's already beat me to it, doing what he usually does, you know. And I look, maybe it is demon possession, something like that. Probably more likely something demonic's going on. Look at this thing. But yeah, it's cringe. Cringe is the word I would use. This is cringe possession. This is complete unawareness of self, even though they claim to be more self-aware than everybody else around them. And also, I think there's something to be said here for kind of like middle class white people out there culturally appropriating, as the left would say, other people's cultures, thinking it makes them profound or deep. I think there's a lot of that going on in many ways. And it's kind of like maybe they've just got too much time and money on their hands and they've gone down this route to make themselves feel like they have something of self-worth or importance. I don't know what's going on here psychologically, but spiritually speaking, oh yeah, these two people are being definitely used as useful idiots by spiritual wickedness in high places. And they go for this like otherworldly look about themselves, this big bug-eyed, bold, wide-eyed thing, trying to mimic something in the spirit realm, you know, like, oh well, I am a starseed from another planet. And I think people don't realize this is what they actually believe. So let's make it clear what these people believe, shall we? Let's just get the Wikipedia page and just read the basic breakdown of what starseeds actually think about themselves. Like, for real. Like, what is it? What is going on here? So, star people or starseeds are a variant of the belief in alien human hybrids in New Age belief and fringe theory. Introduced by Brad Steiger in 1976, the book Gods of Aquarius. It argues that certain people originated as extraterrestrials and arrived on Earth through birth or as a walk-in to an existing human body. Steiger described star people in his 1976 book on contactees as humans who come from a special gene pool linked to visits by extraterrestrials. So that alone is immediately ringing alarm bells in my head from biblical understandings of history. So these are people who believe they are humans who come from a special gene pool linked to visits by extraterrestrials. That is people who believe themselves to be the descendants of fallen angels who mixed with human women to create the Nephilim. So these are people who believe themselves to be the descendants of the Nephilim. But that's the biblical understanding. They have reinterpreted it as the offspring of aliens mixing with humans, making them star seeds, you know. And there's another thing I quickly want to show you here before we carry on. And there's this woman here describing what she believes star seeds are, and she clearly believes herself to be one of them. But listen to this language.
Are individuals who come from different star systems. They have, let's say, a higher percentage of that DNA in them.
Yeah.
So as they are born as human, they keep thinking and feeling and remembering that they came from the stars. with that is the ability to bring information, bring frequencies, bring knowledge and wisdom from that star system. That's the idea. That's why they're usually very sensitive, very intuitive, very psychic. They know things nobody would know. They remember their incarnation. It's fascinating. Star seeds are individuals who come from different star systems. They have, let's say, a higher percentage of that DNA in them.
Yeah.
There we go. The people believe they come from different star systems and they have a higher percentage of that DNA in them. I didn't realize star systems had DNA personally until you realize something, again, which is biblically grounded, you know. And I'll show my face for this one. And it's a theory I've talked about a lot on the channel in the past, and maybe it's good to get back to this now. I made a video about dragons and angels and stars as well. And from a biblical perspective, the Earth is actually extremely trippy. And what we have interpreted from the sky at nighttime as stars, which are, we say, in the secular worldview today, gaseous suns, billions to trillions and millions of miles away. And that's what stars are. And every single one could have planets around them and all sorts of things, just like our star. And our star is not unique, because as you can see in the night sky, there's an innumerable amount of them that we couldn't even begin to count, you know. And it's infinite and it goes on and on and on. But what the Bible understands is, you know, the stars are angels. And we mean that, like, in a literal sense, an angel is a star. It's one of those, isn't it? It's like, not every angel is a star, but every star is definitely an angel. That's how it works. Because when God created angels, they weren't just, like, humans, free to just wander around his creation and have a chat with each other and build a civilization together and, you know, talk to God every now and then as like a pal because he was lonely or something. That's not what angels are. Angels actually serve very specific functions within creation. They are like gears in a clock, and they all work together to make the thing work, the object, the creation work, as dictated and created by God to do that purpose, you know. God is the watchmaker, shall we say, and the angels are the cogs within the watch. And we are the recipients of the watch, in a sense. We get to wear the watch, use the watch, and live with the watch, in a sense, you know, that type of thing. But either way, the creation itself is held together and is made up of angels. And even in Ezekiel's vision, you know, I think it talks about, I can't remember which angels they are, but there are angels that hold up the firmament with their wings, you know, and that's their job. They're there as like a fixture of creation, immovable. And if they did move, well, we'd have problems. We'd have serious problems. So that being said, it's kind of like stars are literally angels who are allotted to a spot, and they have to move along the circuit as dictated by God as their job to do. And they do it happily. And most of them singing glory, 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 you know, because what better job to have than to serve the Lord in such a way, you know. And that's what their role is. But then there's other angels who have other roles on the earth, and they often have been equated through pagan cultures as the gods of certain areas or geographical locations, or a type of tree, let's say, or a river god, or a lake god, or a whatever it is, whatever thing, the gods of the storms, the storm gods, the lightning gods, the sea gods, you know, and you've got the whirlpool gods or something like that. There's a consciousness behind every force in nature. And that consciousness, the gods of the wind, let's say, are angels. Angels are the ones that are in control of that specific thing within the creation. And that's what God created them for, to have a functional role in the creation. And that's why I say when we listen to these star seeds, and she says there in her language in the opening statement, these are people who believe that they come from star systems. So they believe they are a hybridized human that has come from a star. So, and she even said they have a high percentage of that star's DNA in them. Now, her language, obviously, she thought she was inferring beings from the stars, but it could simply be, no, the beings are the stars, the angels are the stars. And when there was a rebellion and a third of the angels of heaven rebelled against God and got involved in Lucifer's rebellion, refusing to bow down to man and to Adam and creation made in God's image, believing themselves to be better and higher than man, therefore why should we bow down? Well, many angels left their allotted estates where they should have been, including the stars. Some of the stars became wandering stars and left their circuits, and that's what we call planets today. Yes, they too are angels, so the same thing, you know. They broke creation. Imagine if you had a perfectly functioning, extremely complex clock full of many cogs, and then a third of them decided no longer to stay put or work anymore. Well, the thing breaks. The whole thing breaks. And that's the world we're living in. We're living in a broken kind of machine, in a sense, God's creation. Now, God makes it work. He can keep things going as much as he needs to without them. You know, he's probably patchworked in some way to make it workable for us so we can have a livable life. But it's not as it should have been, which is why there's a need for a new heaven and new earth at the end of all of this, I believe. And the Nephilim play a huge role in that corruption as well. Maybe the clock analogy is too simple. Maybe think of it more as an extremely advanced supercomputer, and the angels are the nodes and the circuits and everything else inside of it, you know. And maybe something like that. Maybe if you want to get more complex about it, more into the modern age, sure. But I thought the language that these people believe themselves to be children of the stars and this type of thing is kind of, well, really what you're saying is that you think you are a Nephilim creature. You think you are a hybridized human who is the offspring of a star or a fallen angel mixing with humanity in some way. Is that the case? Because I highly doubt it. I think it's more of a, they've been brainwashed through voices in their heads and through dreams and visions and images given to them by fallen angels posing as beings of light, because they are still beautiful in many respects, you know. I've kind of rehashed the old story when the Watchers did this to humanity and are claiming that's what's happening again today. You know what I mean? To these people who are believing like, me, I'm special. I'm a hybrid human, an alien human, you know. But they're just being told that that's not actually what really happened anymore, because I don't think the angels would even dare to mix themselves with humans again after the punishment the Watchers had to suffer. Watching their own children murder each other, the Nephilim, then being bound in chains, you know. I really don't think any angel would dare cross that boundary again, but I don't think they have any qualms with lying to people and trying to convince them that they are Nephilim offspring of angels. But no, no, but they don't call them that. They say, no, 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 no. We're aliens from the Pleiades, and we seeded you into this world from our gene pool, you know. You're actually one of us, but you have a mission on Earth to do, and you need to go forth and spread the message, which is the New Age Luciferian, you are a God Gnostic message. You know, it's the same bullshit from the past, just the reintroduction of these mystery wisdoms in a new veneer. And these people are relentless. And look at your brain, okay, when it's on this stuff. It's cringe as hell. I mean, let's just look at, I think that one of these guys is a cult leader. Let me quickly get it up. Let's have a look here. We'll close her off because we've done that one. Let's try and save some bandwidth here as much as we can. What's this? We've got Starseed TikTok. Reptilian Starseeds. Anunnaki Starseeds. Blue Avian Starseeds. Arcturian Starseeds. Lyran Starseeds. You can see how like crazy this is getting. It's borderline kind of like, how would you describe this? Like furry culture. Like, they're believing themselves to be something they just, it's like a fantasy they're living. I don't want to choose my interest, bugger off for TikTok. I'm not signing up. Look at this weird, crazy cult leader right here. Look what she has to say.
I'm a starseed. A lot of people ask me, how do I know if I'm a starseed? But nobody seems to ask, what is it like to be a starseed? Starseeds are alien consciousness born into human bodies. Because of our unique energy signatures, we have pretty hard lives. Being a starseed is a super lonely experience. It feels like nobody understands you, and it feels like your family is far away in space. Starseeds have a super different energy signature than other Earthlings. Because of this, they're often diagnosed with severe mental illness because of their inability to just go about life like nothing is wrong. They can see the corruption in place very clearly. The positives are that you're usually super smart and also really psychic. And if you can learn how to master your interdimensional traveling with your conscious energy, you don't have to feel lonely and you can connect to your family in space. Also, as the internet expands on these topics, you can find other starseeds like you. Unicult, for example, is my cult full of starseeds. Tune into the next video.
Lines, you are an Arcturian starseed. First, Arcturians come from 9D and above. This means you do embody 9D consciousness, 10D consciousness, 11D consciousness, or 12D consciousness. Arcturians are very balanced. They do work with feminine and with the masculine energies. Arcturians are very psychic. They have a very wide open pineal gland, a very wide open crown chakra, and a very wide open heart chakra. The Arcturians work with the golden, with the violet, and with the blue flame. The Arcturians have a very wide open pineal gland, a very wide open crown chakra, and a very wide open heart chakra. Arcturian starseeds do look very alien. They have very alien-like hands. They have a petite and an androgynous body. The voice of an Arcturian starseed sounds very calming, wise, and deep. Arcturian starseeds are masters in imagination, in visualization, and in manifestation. Basically, Arcturian starseeds are very interested in technologies and science, but also into spirituality. Arcturian starseeds are more introvert, they watch more from behind, and they just speak when they feel it's necessary. The Arcturians do belong to the most humble star races. Arcturians are very deep in music and in art. Last but not least, the Arcturians showing up with a bluish, a purple, a golden, or a gray skin color.
God, if she does say so herself, right? Did you hear how she was talking about how amazing Arcturians starseeds are?
Arcturian starseed. First, Arcturians come from 9D and above. This means you...
I'm living in nine dimensions, bro. What's it like down there in your four dimensions, you peasants? It's like, oh, we're in tune with all of our energy signatures. We're in tune with everything. We have beautiful skin. We glow blue or gold. Our hands are different, you know. And she's basically just trying to say, look how amazing I am and how wonderful I am and how like loving and caring I am. It's like, you're just a narcissistic psychopath. You're just so full of yourself. Calling yourself something special when you're not. Look at this dude. This dude's everywhere. He's doing the exact same thing.
There are three signs that you might be a starseed from Sirius. Many Sirian starseeds feel this unexplainable connection to water, rain, lakes, rivers. Being around them provides them a sense of nourishment and care, but it goes even further in their connection to ancient civilizations that they once existed in that relied primarily on the technology of water, like Atlantis and Lumeria. Sirians crave knowledge that feels ancient and otherworldly. They have an insatiable hunger to understand the mechanics of higher dimensions, sacred geometry, and extraterrestrial technology. Sirian starseeds are natural guardians, not just the protectors of people, but the protectors of energetic spaces. If you instinctively know how to protect your energy, set firm boundaries, and cleanse a space without being taught, you could be carrying the coding of Sirius within you. If any of these signs resonate with you, there's a good chance you carry Sirian energy. And if you want to dive deeper into the starseed journey, please check out my Queens and I's latest book, Starseed Children. It's a...
Anyone want that book? So this is basically the same thing as Indigo Children again. Does anyone remember Indigo Children? That was a thing a long time ago, wasn't it? And it was kind of after it became a thing, people started to say, this seems like cope from mothers who have autistic children, trying to make out that they're actually a part of the next step of human evolution, and they actually have a higher oral perception of reality, like they and they basically glow with a indigo aura in the spirit realm, and they're more in tune with their emotions, and they're here to change the world. They have a mission, you know, and that's why they're different from other people. And that's why they think differently and see the world differently. And this is like more of that ilk. It's that same thing. Or maybe this is the Indigo children grown up now. Because that was more like a late 90s type scenario. Maybe a bit earlier than that as well. And maybe this is what they've grown up to become. These children who are told their entire life that they're special. They've come from another dimension. They're here to change the world with their message, you know. And maybe this is what it fosters, these narcissistic psychopaths who have completely shaved their head because to represent an alien life form they believe they are descended from. And you can't help but feel like this is the parents' fault somewhere down the line. Something happened to these people. Like I feel like they're victims. To end up like that is not an accident. A series of events has happened in these individuals' lives to make them behave, dress and act this way and believe what they're talking about. Like this just doesn't happen overnight. These are products of a series of propagandic formulas in some way to get here. And to us, like in our little community over here, and like we saw this years ago when we were talking about it then, is like these people are clearly just useful idiots for the New World Order, spreading the New Age religion, you know, just basically just spreading Luciferianism with a colorful patterned veneer. And it's kind of, and here they are again, still pushing the same thing. The message hasn't changed. All they've got now is really funky AI artwork to go behind while they're speaking instead. But it's kind of, these people are delusional on many levels and deceived on so many levels. Like, and the problem is more people have lost grip with reality today more than ever. And now they're buying it more than ever. And there's like, they have followers, hundreds of thousands of followers, believing every word they say and talking about having the, you know, the Ashastic records or something like that, or going through these, how, like, do you have to go through these rituals to communicate with the entities to find out if you really are a starseed? And they're talking legitimately like, oh, how do I get on with this? I think I might be a starseed. And it's kind of, it's fostering this odd cult mentality of, chosen ones. We are the chosen people. We are the special ones. We're better than the rest of humanity. And they're giving themselves like savior complexes. It's kind of like, we have to save the world. We are the descendants of the star people. And we have been put here with a mission, you know. And the mission is to make everybody Luciferian, to turn everybody into a Gnostic. We are our own gods, collective consciousness, New Age hippie type. They're not special. This is nothing new. But that's where they are. That's where they think they are. And they claim themselves to be this like egoless, above the quarrels of the 3D type people. And it's kind of, there's nothing more egotistical than thinking that. There is nothing more full of yourself, narcissistic, psychopathic, and egotistical than believing you don't have an ego. And you're special and better than everybody else. And if everybody just listened to you and did what you said, everything would be perfect. Like, that's bad. I mean, at least Christians have the you know, the wherewithal to get down on knees and say, I know nothing. I'm a useless, worthless sinner in the eyes of God. I need help. I can't even save myself, let alone the world. I need a savior. that's the difference, you know. And they would say, oh, well, you have just a disempowering belief, a weak belief system that makes you disempowered. And you'll never manifest change in reality when you have that kind of attitude. So, yeah, see how these viewers, how they talk about us? And it's kind of, oh, yeah, and you're going to change the world, are you? Into what? What are you going to change the world into with this New Age Gnostic gibberish that you're spreading? Like, I could not imagine a more insufferable world where everybody acts and behaves like them. I really couldn't. They are not grounded in reality. Like, not even a little bit. Like, maybe I'm going too far. You know what? We'll come back to the cringe in a minute. Let's take a break. Like I said, it's going to be a slightly shorter show than usual. I'm going to play, it's fitting, I'll play my own song. I'll play a song called New Age Hippie I wrote 11 years ago when I was seeing all this stuff for the first time, you know. And I just come to Christ. I was zealous about it. I was passionate and I was satirical about the whole thing. So here, you know, I've shown you their cringe. Here's my cringy stuff. I'm going to show you some of my cringe stuff from the past. Here's New Age Hippie by yours truly, while I have a quick break and have a drink. So here we go, guys.
says you're a new age hippie. I could be wrong, it all depends. Do you drop acid with your friends in the hopes of seeing something pretty? And do you like it underground, where the bass is bouncing all around and you're dancing to something trippy? Well, walking home is no fun when eyes are wide and jaws are numb and you got no shades in Sunrise City. Someday you will say that there's only really one way, and you'll know about the names that change while the game remains the same. For shame, I bet you're trying to ascend and consciousness is your best friend. Come on, man, you're a new age hippie. I bet you think you're a god, and in the end you'll rise above the thrones of the all high and mighty. Duality's your deity, your mantra is, it came from me. You yell it loud, proud and haughty. Well, don't you know it's all a lie, and when you do, you can't deny. My, what a pity. Yeah, well, someday you will see that there's only really one way. You know when the names change, but the game remains the same. Or someday you will see that there's only.
And I'm back. There we go. There's only one way, guys. They'll see it in the end, right? They'll see it. You know, it comes full circle eventually, because that lifestyle, this new age narcissistic lifestyle, really does end in tears the longer you kind of swim in it and live in it. It doesn't really bring any fruit into your life. Your life only gets worse as people start to alienate themselves from you because they're like, what the hell is this? I don't want anything to do with this anymore. They've lost their minds, you know? And maybe more of a kind of people who are thinking like you on your wavelength, who vibe with your interdimensional channeling self, you know, will come into your life, but they will make your life worse. I guarantee it. They'll get you more addicted to drugs in many ways, usually, because these cultures go hand in hand. And, you know, psychedelics, it's all fun and games until you end up comatose in a drooling state of absolute despair, trapped in a bad trip, you know what I mean? And the point is, eventually they hit this point where they realize, I've been rolling around with the pigs for so long and I stink and need to take a shower. I'm broke. I have no prospects or property or future or anything. I have no kids, no family, and I'm alone. That's usually where this all ends up, okay? And then they have a reevaluation and a conversion, usually to Christ, because they realize he is the truth, the way, and the life. And what they realize is they've been chasing all this spiritualism for so long because they're searching for a relationship with God. But they just didn't have any context to get there. No one was in their life to point them in the right direction or to contextualize it for them in a way they can actually understand. So naturally, they defaulted to the New Age stuff. And that's how it works. And I met plenty of people who have like always defaulted when looking for spiritualism to crystal powers, chakra alignments, you know, that type of thing, meditation, yoga, all that kind of stuff, tarot card readings. And that's what they always fall to. That's like the new age spiritualism stuff is the fallback. It's the net that catches the people looking for God who don't know where to look. It gets them first. And then eventually hopefully people do eventually figure it out and leave. I think about 80% of the people fall into the trap, eventually leave the trap, because they realize it's useless. It's just all platitudes. It's just a colourful, funky veneer over just a pit of damnation and hell and misery and loneliness and insanity. Eventually they get to that point, you know, and then they realise, well, I know there's a spirit realm. I know mystical, magical things happen. I know there's entities out there that communicate from other dimensions because they've been swimming in that world, you know, and meeting these entities and talking to them. And it's kind of, but if they're all liars and none of it's true and they can't make my life better, then what are they really? And then the Bible has all the answers. And it's kind of, oh, that's where they come from. That's what they are. That's why they did this. That's what their agenda is. And people have their eyes open usually. So I have faith and hope they're going to get there eventually. That's kind of what that song is about. It's kind of like, you're a new age hippie now, but you will eventually realize there's only one way. You will realize Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. He is the one you need to get to know. He can get you to the Father. Nobody gets to the Father but through him. You can't brute force your way there or hack into heaven, shall we say, by taking 3 hits of dimethyltryptamine through a homemade bong. It isn't going to happen, bro. You know, you're going to get demons, bro. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, I'm back here. I'm back in the chat. Let's do an actual Q&A session for the last half hour of this. Anyone got any questions? Any want to say anything? Anyone want to ask me anything at all? While you're getting some questions in there, I will just say to Sharon, who sent me an email here from New Zealand, I've got your email. I've just seen it. I didn't have time to respond, obviously, because I'm in the middle of the show. Thanks for the message. That's amazing, honestly. I'll send you a proper written response. But it's good to know that my work has helped you and your family. That's great to hear. I really appreciate the support. If you do want the copy of this last copy of the book, it's yours. So anyone listening, it's spoken for. Sharon's got the book. Just email me your shipping information and you can send the £40 payment or any payment at all to my PayPal. The link is down below in the description. I think it's like www.paypal.me/youconspiracy/whatever amount you want to donate, but it's just paypal.me/youconspiracy, I think is the shorthand. But the link is in the description. If you want to send the £40 for that book now, you can do that. It's yours, and just leave me your shipping address. And obviously, like I said, anything else extra you wanted to donate on top of that, you can do it through PayPal there. That's perfect. But I'll email you back after the show. And if anybody else wants to send me an email, you can do that. You can send me anything you want at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. I do tend to read all my emails, but the volume is very high and I don't have time to respond to everything. I try, but people do slip through the cracks, so I apologize, okay? But you can always send me any information you've come across, a topic you might think I want to discuss, something like this. I always appreciate when the audience help me out, you know, and I don't see everything. I don't notice everything. I don't have millions of eyes or heads or arms to do everything all at once. And I don't know everything. So if you think there's something that I might need to know about or something happening in the world you think is interesting relating to my topics, please email me. So there we go. Anyway, back to the chat. What's going on? We've got I'm losing it already. Everyone's arguing about something. I don't know. The Christian Chosen One channels are pure cringe, says Jesse Stronghold. I don't really get involved in that kind of stuff, the Chosen Ones. But I have seen people saying that. How do you know if the people who were chosen, that you're a chosen one? And it often comes in with being a targeted individual. I've kind of noticed that link together as well. But it's just something odd that I've never even thought about or contemplated about, that I've not gone looking for. So I don't fully understand what it is the chosen ones believe exactly. maybe it's something I'm going to have to do a full study on so I can make some commentary that actually counts. It seems like YouTube are stopping people's comments turning up in the chat. That happens, guys. The algorithm, the robots of YouTube do have a system where certain words get held back for review. And I've been left comments in videos. And they don't get put in my held folder. So there are comments that get sent straight to my held back folder, okay, in my channel. And when they get sent to the held thing, it's because usually there's a lot of swearing in it or something, and YouTube just flags it immediately. They've got like trigger words. It's just rude, violent, horrible, disgusting, vitriolic abuse being hurled at me. You know, the algorithm picks that up quite well and puts it in the hidden behind maybe offensive column, you know, click if you really want to see this. And I can approve these comments, these type of comments. I can let them be shown or not. And that's what they're in my held folder for. If you put a link in your comment, automatically gets sent to held, that you can't post links on YouTube unless I authorize it. So that's what happens as well. But sometimes YouTube will just take a comment away and it won't appear until maybe 2 to 3 days later. And I had no idea that comment existed. Like, it wasn't there for me in my studio, in my comments for that video. It might be there for you, the one who posted it. You might be able to see it, but nobody else can. And then randomly, 9 days later, that comment will just be there. Or something like that. And it was, and it'll say posted when the video was posted. So it'll be timestamped to when you post, but it just won't appear publicly until they deem it necessary. Like, it's really odd. And I've seen that happen a lot. It happens all the time. So really, don't get offended if you think your messages aren't coming up. The moderators and myself are not like censoring you or anything or playing some nasty games on you. YouTube really does just do that kind of stuff. Just letting you know if you didn't realize. The Christian chosen ones basically believe they are the true 144,000. Of course they do. Fair enough. Are the old virgins as well. As requested, Paul, I sent the K Griggs testimony. It's 7 hours, which is hectic for a father husband. I can assure you it's well worth your time. She's a powerful Christian whistleblower, says Steve Oz. Steve Oz, I did see that email. I haven't chipped into it yet, but your email is there, and I really appreciate you sending me the information. I do. I'll definitely get... When you sent me the picture, actually, and as I remember, I think I watched that when I first got into Conspiracy. I think I've already listened to most of that interview. So I'm looking forward to getting a nostalgic re-listen to it, because I've clearly forgot it all. But I'm going to have to watch it, yeah. And if it's really good, maybe I'll do like a summary of the 7 hours and just retell what she said, you know, and give clips or something just for fun, just to, for posterity reasons, to get the truth out there. But I think I did watch that years ago, like a decade ago. So thanks for sending it. I appreciate that. Sometimes they think if you say armor after certain words, they think you might be being violent. That's odd. I didn't know that. They also think the UN will usher in the heavenly kingdom. Really? That's wild. I think the chosen ones have been drinking too much Kool-Aid. Paul, question. What are your thoughts on the gifts of the Spirit in the Little Season? Are there still many healing going on that are real? Says Pineal Wasteland. You know, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, all things are possible through God, and, you know, Jesus said those who believe in him will do greater things than he, you know, and I know he was kind of the Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost to the people before his ascension, you know, and before he's promised to return and with his kingdom. And he did tell his disciples and all those who were there, you know, who had the Holy Spirit upon them, go out and make disciples of all men and go to all the nations and spread the truth and spread the gospel to the whole earth. And once that's complete, I'll return, type of thing. And Paul was saying, you know, to which I am a minister, and all the gospels and preach to the whole known world, to the earth, you know. People tried to say, well, that just meant the isolated region that they knew about in the Middle East and surrounding regions in the Mediterranean. But realistically, I think he went to the whole earth. I think it was more likely all connected as well and not separated by oceans during that point. So it was easier. And I think many gifts were poured out during that time, and people were speaking in tongues, healing, raising the dead, doing all sorts of miracles, which just made Christianity just spread drastically, because it was just evident that the kingdom is here now. It's happened, you know. Christ has conquered death, and therefore so have we, type of thing. And did that just stop because a millennial reign began and then the little season began at the end of that millennial reign on Earth? I don't think so. I don't imagine that would just stop. But I do think our awareness of and that strong faith people had to make it happen, because they were witness to these miracles firsthand on a regular basis and saw Christ rise from the dead. And, you know, that kind of unshakable, unwavering belief and faith means you have doubt you can make somebody healed instantly and raise that person from the dead over there, and you cast that demon out right now. You have no doubt whatsoever, you know, those people are, you know, amazing for them. And I think that's why there's something to be said, like, blessed are those over, you know, people who believe but haven't seen. There's something to be said for that, you know. Because it's easy when you've stuck your finger in the hole in under Jesus's rib where the spear went in, and you see him there stood before you, to believe that he's the Son of God and he's conquered death, you know. But for us in this little season, our faith, I don't think our faith is as strong as those people would have been, because we are living off faith alone, because we're not seeing what those people saw in that time. But I don't think that means the Holy Spirit is with us any less. I think our ability to utilize our authority is less, because we're not aware of just how powerful that authority can be and what it means for us as much as those people did in that time. So I think the fruits of that Spirit, of the Holy Spirit and these miracles, are less today, but I don't think just impossible or gone. And I think a lot of people fall short in utilizing their ability to use these in faith, because perhaps our faith is more shakable now than it was then, because we are in such times of deception and lies and many things that make us think, oh, could we be wrong, you know? Because of, like, obviously the scientism, the heliocentric stuff, the evolutionary stuff, the schooling systems, the medication, the constant pain and suffering and all these type of things which the little season brings to our life. I think it has caused a less ministers out there who are truly living in the Holy Spirit and utilizing those gifts of the Spirit fully as they were just after Pentecost. I don't think the fruits of the Spirit just disappeared. But I also think, because we're in this time, I think a lot of these things can be faked and are being faked by demons and fallen angels as well, posing as angels of light. I think there are counterfeit versions of the speaking in tongues, the healing the sick and all this type of stuff, and casting out demons, although really all they're doing is just faking that they're casting out demons. I think there's a lot of illusory stuff going on too. And I think we're living in such a time of deception now that it's really difficult, and we should tread extremely carefully with anybody who claims those sort of things. But I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying that they're liars or they're not true and they aren't really doing that. I just think it's far less today than it would have been then. And I think there's a lot more deceit happening now around that type of thing than there would have been then. Because it's kind of like you'll have somebody who may, like, cast a demon out of somebody and then preach a false gospel afterwards, make it more Gnostic or something. And it's because the demons can work together to do that type of thing. They can coherently do that. They can pretend to leave somebody, you know, and make it look like they've left somebody. So the person then who did it can be considered to have authority by other witnesses, and then they can deceive people more readily. Which is why it's up to us to have discernment to know that if they preach any other gospel than Christ risen, then you've they're a liar, you know. They're telling you a lie, and the Spirit needs to be tested today. And I feel like we are in the thick of spiritual warfare now, and the fog of war truly is the thing we have to contend with as Christians today. We don't see much of the enemy's works around us, and again, we don't realize our own range as much as we perhaps could. And this is what they've been doing to us. This is a part of that deception. This is a part of that little season fog that and everything about the world we live in today is geared towards making us weaker, making us fearful, and making us not live in faith and belief and that fearless nature that Christ wants us to have, that you can rise up and tread on serpents, go out there, make disciples of men, and go and do greater things than I. Believe in that Great Commission. I think we can accomplish anything. But, you know, it's in the face and the light of the world as it is difficult. Which is, you know, thank God for grace and for mercy, because we are constantly falling short. Let's just do the best we can. But there are people out there who really are, like, fearless. And we need more of those people. We need more of those people. It's actually interesting because someone, Ken Ryan, sent me an article, actually, which I think is good to share now. It's, why not? But there is an issue going on right now in the minds of a lot of young people. And I'll just read the articles for you. Let me just quickly close this crazy looking video, which we don't need to play anymore. And the article is not loading right now because I'm streaming live and it's apparently it's too much for it. So just bear with me a second. Here we go, and I'll share the screen with you. So here it is. People don't realize they're partaking in Here's why experts are calling it a hidden epidemic. So this is FOPO, a dangerous habit, okay? There's fear of missing out, fear of a better option, and now there's FOPO, another stress-inducing acronym that stands for Fear of People's Opinions. It's human nature to care about what other people think, but letting this fear control your day-to-day can be an incredibly damaging habit that some experts believe is a constrictor of human potential. So kind of what we're talking about there. I think a lot of people live in fear today of professing that they believe in God and Jesus Christ because of what people will think of them. And that immediately is a limiting factor to a Christian's potential right there. If you're a Christian and you believe in Christ, but you're scared to profess that out loud, you've neutered yourself and you definitely probably won't be utilizing many gifts of the Spirit because of that, unfortunately. You're still saved, you know, your salvation isn't in jeopardy or anything like that, but it's kind of, you're kind of like castrating yourself and your ability to be fruitful, shall we say, with the Holy Spirit, you know, and it's kind of what you've done here. If you have this issue of worrying about what the world's going to think about you and your faith. But anyway, I just thought this is interesting. So FOPO described as a hidden epidemic. And people who suffer from it lose faith and confidence in themselves, and their performance suffers. So kind of like what I'm saying. It's primarily an anticipatory mechanism that we use and is a preemptive process to increase our acceptance in the eyes of others and for us to try to avoid rejection. And it's characterized mostly by a hypervigilance and social readiness that we end up doing. And what we end up doing is we scan our world for approval. What he means is that more and more people are comparing themselves to others and seeking validation from the outside world, which ultimately causes someone to devalue themselves. Of course, social media, a way people seek approval from others through likes and comments, doesn't help either. And it's not so much about what's best for you anymore. It feels like what's maybe best for how others will perceive you. A licensed marriage and family therapist told HuffPost. Several examples can help you identify if you're living a life with FOPO. Pretending you watched a movie or TV show others are discussing, laughing at jokes you don't find humor in, feeling anxious that you're taking too long to order at a cafe when there's a line behind you, and not wanting to leave work before your boss does, are just a few. If you're checking off the boxes, realizing you suffer from FOPO, Gervais told Forbes that the first step in combating it is to have a clear sense of purpose. And I would say, as Christians, we should remember what our purpose is, realistically. What is the Christian purpose, if you want to reclaim that? And it's to go and make disciples of men. Go out there and spread the gospel, spread the good news, save as many people as you can. Well, at least point them to Jesus so he can save as many people as will be willing to offer the free gift of salvation. And you know, if you're worried about what the world thinks of you, then again, you're really limiting yourself. And it's kind of like, why should somebody believe in Jesus Christ if you, a ambassador for that belief, don't even have the balls to profess it publicly to people when they ask? You know, it's kind of well, who are you? You know, clearly you really don't even believe this stuff if you're not willing to actually say that's what you believe. And I can't help but feel like Jordan Peterson suffers from this impetus in a way, doesn't he? It's kind of like, he's always confronted. It's kind of like, do you believe in Jesus Christ or not? Do you believe he is the Son of God? And he always skirts around the question. He's like, I don't have to tell you, bucko. You know, it's kind of, just answer the damn question. Like, do you believe it or not? But he's got one foot in the world, hasn't he? And one foot in Christ. And he doesn't want to lose his standing in the academia world, because as soon as you profess that you believe in God and Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, you've been discounted immediately by the worldly academic institutions. They're going to think you're a religious lunatic and everything you have to say from now on is invalid. He knows that, and he's scared of that. And there's many people like him who are scared of that. But I would say, you know, did I see an article the other day? Oh, maybe a meme. It's like the smartest man in the world with the highest IQ. It's like a 285 IQ or something like that. I can't remember. And he's saying, like, Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's like, who are you gonna believe? Like, even the smartest man in the world knows and believes that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of everything. and God is real. And it was always like comparing like to the atheists with high IQs who are way lower than his, you know, saying God isn't real. And he's like, I have the highest IQ. And I say, you're all wrong. I swear I saw that somewhere. If that's even, is that even bullshit? Is that real? I don't know. Someone needs to tell me whether that's true or not. Maybe it was just a meme that was left in the Telegram group. But it's one of those memes. It's kind of like, I can believe that. I can actually believe that that's real, you know, because the truth is the truth. And if you're smart enough, you'll see it. Like, smart people will realize that, yeah, this is logically the truth. This is actually what's really going on. So I can believe that would be the smartest man in the world's real conclusion, you know. But I think there's many like smartest men in the world type people all over the place, aren't there? What's the chat saying anyway? Any more questions, guys? It helps if you highlight at Understanding Conspiracy so I can actually see it. That's a good way of doing it. Phil says, why did you have to do Captain Snuggles so dirty? Sorry, yeah. I know, right? That was brutal even by my own standards. For those who don't know, there's a short story in my book, The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, where it's about a man walking his dog through the woods and suddenly the barking stops and the man turns around and he sees an arm lifting up his dog, who's been crushed basically in this hand, you know, and he looks up and finds a giant there who basically just eats his dog. And I described it quite viscerally and how the paw kind of slapped down on the floor in front of him, and the dog was called Captain Snuggles anyway, or something like that. I think it just to add some humor to an otherwise incredibly dark scenario. I'm sorry I did Captain Snuggles so dirty, but I will say, you know, any likeness to real persons is coincidental, and it's not real. Don't worry about it. It was just a scenario. But yeah, I know what you're talking about there, Phil. I apologize. Maybe I could have handled it better. Speaking of New Age stuff, I'm starting to think the New Age isn't just occult stuff, but modern day science, says Ben. Yeah, well, it's all becoming one now, isn't it? Science is saying, is proving what the New Age has said about cymatic frequency waves and consciousness. The science is discovering that psychedelics can unlock mankind's potential consciousness and make them at one with Source. Stuff like this is coming out now. It's all just a part of the plan, you know. Paul, do you truly believe there are breakaway Nephilim descendant human hybrid civilizations hiding in the earth, perhaps waiting to reveal their existence? No, I don't actually. Not as much as a lot of people in the conspiracy world would probably purport. I think there are people, human beings around today, who claim themselves to be the descendants of the original Nephilim. They have the divine right to rule because they're of the Watchers. Most of them were completely wiped out before the Flood. And if any did survive, which they did because they were in the lands of Canaan afterwards as the Rephaim, most of them were killed there too and called out, and the population numbers were thinned dramatically. I think what we have are cryptids around today, which are humans who have mutated themselves, but they aren't half angel. And that is explained in the Book of Jasher during the mixing of kinds. It's discussed there, and you take that for what you want, you know. But it does explain, it gives a good explanation for where we get the cryptid phenomena from. And I think those things are around in big numbers everywhere still, but that was like kind of like a hybridization of humanity, not through sexual means, but just through genetic manipulation means. I think it's a completely different scenario to the Nephilim. I think if there are still people with Nephilim bloodlines around today, they look human. It's completely watered down and mixed up, and the reason why people keep their bloodlines pure and in the family are because they believe they have that trait. And that's as far as it goes, I think, in terms of giants and Nephilim creatures still waiting somewhere underground or in a hidden civilization somewhere on Earth. I really don't think that's going on anymore. Biblically speaking, I don't think so. But I think they're trying to find a way to get the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim back into the physical realm. I think they're really working on that. I think they're going to build vessels for them through the transhumanist means and AI means. I think that's where that is likely going. And that's just my theory, you know. Ancient and biblical cosmology states we live on a flat earth, more or less, but modern science says otherwise. Same with dating things. Carbon dating seems like new age stuff to me. Yeah, I guess so, but I'm not sure what do you mean by new age stuff exactly? Like worship of the sun, heliocentrism? I guess such, I suppose you could equate that to mystery wisdom schools and that idea, but it's hard to say. It's hard to say. Stephen, they just think I'm on a spiritual journey. Well, I am. God showed me the truth, and I've been trying to share much. To my chagrin, not welcomed. Yeah, it's hard to tell people the truth. I have a whole series dedicated to telling people the truth and, you know, tips for truthers, because I understand the struggle. I do. And, you know, sometimes you just have to cut your losses, and some battles you're not going to win. That's also a sad tip that you may have to learn sometimes. You can't get them all. You can't, unfortunately. You've got to put it in God's hands and hope he's got a plan, you know. And he does. And he'll get there if you couldn't. Thanks, Reality Witness. I appreciate the donation. Steve, have you seen any videos on ex-Satanist Zachary King, who converted to Catholicism? I don't get a good feeling about his testimony. Just wondered if anyone else saw him. Is that a new one? Zachary King? I'm not sure about that one. I remember watching an old video of an ex-Satanist turned Christian. It's like an old video, though, from like the 90s. He had a thick, I think, like Spanish accent. I'm not sure, Mexican accent. I'm not sure. Like, I know it's Spanish, but I think it was that type of Spanish. I'm not sure, though, but I remember his ex-Satanist become Christian. But maybe I think the Zachary King one. Send me a link again, an email, and I'll check it out. Enough people hitting the thumbs up button. Thanks, Minor. I appreciate it. Summoning the disembodied spirits through CERN, says Ben. Well, yes, I mean, they can summon the spirits, I suppose, but those spirits still have no bodies. They've still got no bodies to come back into the physical realm through CERN or otherwise. Their body's gone. It's dead. It's done. It's rotted. It's turned into mountains that we now go spelunking in. How often do I get to use that word? Not very often. Thanks for the opportunity there, at the very least, Ben. I don't think CERN is playing that game of opening portals for demons to come into our realm. I really don't think that's what they're doing. I think they're definitely playing with energies and causing things to happen which are bizarre in a spiritual way. I don't think it's as simple as like opening up stargates, let's say, or portals to hell or the spirit realm or something. I think that's for the movies. I think in reality they're doing something. I think it's more technical. I think it's more subtle as well. Have you checked out the plasma moon map of the Earth, says JC Seed of Life, on Vibes of Cosmos? Could this put a spin or a twist on things? I like that model. I think it's a great model. Yeah, I'm very well aware of it. Absolutely. Wendy, thanks for that. That's really generous. I like the map. I'm not sold on any model. I just know it's not what we've been told. I just know it's an enclosed system, not a vast infinite space system. And I like the moon map projection. I do. I think it's a good model. I think it's very, very fascinating. I think he's done some amazing work there. And it's in my bank. It's on my shelf of wonder, as James, or one of our regulars, would say. In the back of my mind, you know, I've got this place called the Shelf of Wonder. And I don't know what to do with it. It's fascinating. It makes me go wow every time I look at it, but I don't fully understand it yet. I don't know if it is the truth, but it certainly has a lot of truth to it, like a ring. And because I don't know what to do with this thing yet, let's say the moon map, I put it on this shelf in the back of my mind. And every now and then I can just look back at it and go, oh yeah, I remember that. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that wonderful? That could be the possibility. And it's always going to be there. So yeah, that's what I do with the moon map. I like it though. I think it's a good model. I think it's a really good model. That's why they're making AI bodies to inhabit them, says Ben. or clones. Oh, I think they're trying to make a perfectly human-like body through robotics and synthetic means, which may even have 3D printed synthetic flesh human organs. It might create something more akin to an android type clone, biological android type situation, a Westworld type thing, you know. And then once they've perfected the vessel, then they need to perfect the brain, the mind, the thing that can house consciousness. And I think they're trying to create a virtual version of that through AI, a series of neural networks that can behave and act just like a brain's neural network of neurons. And once they can mimic that perfectly and synthetically, they can insert that into the vessel they've created, and then you've got something that can house consciousness. You've made a beast in the image of the world rather than the image of God, in a sense. But it's soulless. It has no soul. It can't think in of itself or do anything because it hasn't got that breath of life in it. But there are plenty of disembodied entities just begging for a body, and they'll likely use these brand new consciousness compatible vessels to house their own ethereal consciousness. And that's how you get the Nephilim back into this world, isn't it? And who's to say they haven't already done something like that, though? Who knows? They tell you a lot of truth in movies, don't they? Maybe Westworld was trying to tell you, we have the technology, we've done it. You know, who knows? And you don't even realize because they look human. They look just as real as me or you. That could be the case. But again, that is just wild speculation. What proof do I have for something like that? Who has any kind of proof for something like that? So don't live your life as though what that is true, because you don't know that's true. But it could be possible that if they haven't already done it, that's at least what I think the agenda is, to do something like that in this little season. I think that's how he gets his army as well, to fight the Camp of Saints. He brings the Nephilim back somehow. What time are we on, guys? 11:38. Right, so I've been going for a while, almost an hour and a half, and it says an hour 22 here. Yeah, so I'm going to go for about 10 more minutes, something like that. Any questions, get them in. Just let me know and I'll answer them. I'm looking at the chat live now. I'm not going to scroll back. While we're waiting, I wonder if there's anything else I can show you guys here. No, I haven't got any more stuff. I've not got any more tabs to show you today. But maybe I'll show you something else in the future. I think the next one might be about robotics again. MK Ryan sent me a video of a robot who they're trying to master flying Iron Man style. And they got him off the ground 50 centimeters for like 10 seconds. And it's a groundbreaking revolution, apparently. But I'll save that for the next one. Let me just check the chat. Maybe two more questions, guys. Let me know. This is a live Q&A. This is your chance. Vaughn says, do you think Tartaria is a psyop? It's obviously the world we are in is in a cycle of sin as described in the Bible. Do we really need to look for answers in history books? I think the sudden insertion of Tartaria into the truth of culture, yes, is a bit of a psyop. I think it's to cover up and hide and mask what it really is talking about, which is the millennial reign of Christ. And I think the millennial reign of Christ was complicated. I think there were many vassal states within his kingdom that didn't necessarily align with his values, but they were under his dominion, whether they liked it or not. You know, so I think that's why there was still a lot of other cultures during these times of the millennial reign building temples to other gods in an amazing technological fashion, which they had stolen from the millennial kingdom, you know. And I'm sure they suffered greatly for going against the king in that time, you know, and building things to false idols. But it wasn't all sunshine and lollipops during the millennial reign. But there was no doubt who had all authority, you know, and it was still Christ. So I think Tartaria is like a way of saying, see, there were these amazing kingdoms during this time all over the earth that had the same archaeological style, you know, the same architectural style, shall we say. And I think a lot of it can be explained by Rome, first of all, which touched every corner of the earth and had the same architectural style. The beast that collapsed when Christ came and did what he did, you know. The final beast system, which is resurrected in the little season, you know. And this is what we're living again in, a new resurrected Roman Empire. And that's for sure. And I feel like a lot of the shared culture can be explained by that. And I think Tartaria literally just means more land, in terms of why they called places Tartary, It's like that's land unexplored, which is just more land over there. We'll call it the land of Tartary, you know, Tartar. But then also there is something to say that there was a culture in Siberia, Russia, that type, well, you know, Mongolia, Russia region, which was kind of dubbed as Tartaria as well, as distinct from Western Europe, let's say. But that doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't a part of the Millennial Reign Kingdom either. It doesn't mean that at all. It could have been. And I think it's, they'll look at all this architecture and they'll, in the Tartaria people, you know, and they'll always ignore that it's covered in Jesus. He's everywhere. He's painted on everything. And they want to ignore the whole timeline thing about after Christ. Well, no, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, or before Christ. All the dating goes back to what he did. You know, they don't want to acknowledge any of that whatsoever. They want to try and say, well, it was just invented by the Byzantine Roman Empire to control the public and create a false religion which they could use to control the masses with, or some bullshit like that. You know? But it's, that's not what happened. Like, it's evidence that Christ was here. It's evident he established his kingdom, and it's evident there was issues. But in terms of like the rest of human history, it was peace on earth by any comparison, you know. And peace is tumultuous. Peace is people who disagree with each other getting along. It's not all come by our sunshine and lollipops, you know, and everyone has to agree with each other and all cultures have to get aligned. But all cultures were being ruled by an iron rod and knew, well, if I step out of line and make war with this culture over here, the king will have a problem with that. So I better not, you know. It would have been a different time. Just, I don't think we can fathom what people would have lived like and thought during that time. But after a while, with each passing generation, I imagine a lot of these cultures would have basically said, this actually isn't that bad. Like, we were apprehensive at first, but after living under the millennial reign for a few hundred years, it's kind of like, this is perfect. This is exactly what we needed, you know. And I think it probably got to that state, and then it was like a wane, an issue, a slow tapering off, a corruption set back in again, as Satan was being prepared to be released from the pit for his little season to gather his army, you know. And there was obviously, clearly, the camp of saints was cut off from the rest of humanity, and so was Christ as king, essentially, or a way to him was blocked off or cut off in some way, whatever that had. I don't know how that worked or what we can say. We've got theories and ideas, you know. But I think Tartaria, the Tartarian researchers, they are very, very antichrist. I haven't met a single one yet that didn't think that Christianity was just made up bullshit that is used to control people. They do not want to consider the millennial kingdom angle. They don't want to do it. Okay, and I feel like a lot of the theories and ideas are completely debased. They've got no foundation to stand on, really. It's just them wildly speculating about stuff. At least we have a historical precedence within our book to say we knew this time would come, and we know why these buildings would exist and what kind of kingdom or culture could create such a thing. Well, the only thing that could create something like this are people who are living during a time with abundance, patience, skill, and inspiration. And that can only come from living during a time where you're heavily in touch with God in some way, you know, and these people clearly were. But again, I don't think it was all perfect. I think there were still cultures out there that were in rebellion during the whole time. I think a lot of them became the deserts we know of today as a punishment, in a sense. And I think it's how places like China, the land of the dragon, maintained its cultural heritage. They probably did not agree with or go along fully with the king as it was, you know. I think they held on to their own gods and worshipped dragons in many ways. And I still think India continued the veneration of their ancestor spirits and of multiple gods. I think all the pantheistic religions still existed. They just had no power during that time of the millennial reign. And again, I think they would have suffered quite a lot and not been able to partake or take advantage of the perks of being a part of Christ's kingdom in a way. But I think they certainly, the knowledge would have been spread to them at least about how to build in a certain way or how to utilize ether technology and all this type of thing. So they certainly benefited from living by, you know, back engineering whatever the Christ-centric kingdoms were doing, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of, I still think that's, it can all work. The stories can all work cohesively with each other. All the little seasoners aim to do is cover up that everybody knew about this at one point, and make out that, well, you know, there was a dark age where nothing much really happened, you know, and everyone was living with dysentery and rolling around in their own feces and, you know, dying at the age of 30 and all their teeth fell out by the age of 15. And it's like they were trying to describe it as just a terrible time where no one needs to really think about it, where Christianity had full control and made everybody backwards, unscientific, undeveloped, useless breathers who were too superstitious in their beliefs to have anything at all to do with it, a good civilization or progression. You know? That's kind of how we're supposed to see it. Truly, we are living in the dark ages now, I would say. Paul, how tea spiritual warfare did you learn from Derek Prince as The Matrix Unraveled? Well, Derek Prince was just one of those early pastors I found online that I listened to quite a lot when I was trying to find Christ and get to understand what he was all about. And he was a Pentecostal charismatic type who talked in tongues and all that type of thing. But he didn't make a thing of it during his talks, and his gospel was infallible, and his delivery was perfect. And it was watching his raw passion and his love for Christ that really made me pay attention and take it in. And I thank him, you know, I can't thank him because he passed away. Obviously he was very old even then when I was listening to him, but I thought he really opened my eyes to the spiritual nature of reality and the warfare and how demons operate as well. He was heavily into that kind of stuff. And he just had a way of saying it, which resonated with me personally, that I'll never forget. But I don't really listen to him much anymore because I don't know. Maybe I should go back and listen to some of his old sermons, kind of reminded me. But yeah, Derek Prince it's a good one for beginners, I would say. Very personable. If Satan's deception is so strong, why are we allowed to uncover this new history and eschatology? That's something I wonder about sometimes. Is it really divine revelation or part of Satan's plan? Well, you know, you could say that about anything. I think fundamentally God's in control. It might be Satan's little season, but he doesn't have authority. He doesn't own anything. and I think as long as you have faith in God, God will reveal the truth to the faithful, you know. That's kind of how I would say that. I think, look, he can try his best to maintain a lie, but lies fall apart eventually. You know, lies that are built upon more lies upon more lies upon more lies is just it's a tower of cards waiting to fall. And that even the devil will struggle to keep the cat in the bag, you know, eventually. And I think the cat's just out of the bag. I think that's just it now. And he's had his run. He's done what he can in the time he's had. And I think we're in endgame time now, and the truth's coming out and moves are going to have to get made. I imagine that's just all it is. It's just the timing of it all. The devil isn't infallible. Like, you know, don't give him too much credit. You know, give the devil his due, of course, but he's not God. So that's kind of my response to that. Lindsay C. Hey, Paul, hope you and your family are well. Did you get the new vehicle yet? No, well, we're getting a car tomorrow. And thanks to everybody's help, we've managed to... We were going to have to borrow about £4,000. I've already borrowed about that from my father, which I'm going to have to obviously pay him back as soon as I can. But we needed about another £4,500 on top of that. On top of what we already had as well. Like, we pulled from some savings we had. We had car expenses, savings for like MOTs. We kind of just pulled it all together, and we were still like £4,000 short. So we needed to get a loan. When we applied, the interest rate was through the roof for me, and we would end up paying £9,000 in total for a £4,000 loan. And it's kind of, we can't do that. We can't lock ourselves in for 5 years on something like a commitment like that. It's ridiculous, you know. I mean, I don't earn that much money. The life of a YouTube conspiracy theorist is not that lucrative, you know, but it's fun. It's what I love doing, but it's enough to get by, but it's not like, it's not £9,000 loan high, you know. But at the same time, we need a car. We need a car that's got low mileage, that's relatively new. So we've got a 2019 with about 30,000 miles on the clock, an SUV. It's a family car. It can fit us. It's got enough space to get us through, and hopefully it'll keep us going for like 10 years now. And we found one. It's been imported from, well, it's a company, they're shipping it from Scotland to their place here where I live. And it's arriving tomorrow. So I'm going to go drive the thing tomorrow, test drive it and buy it tomorrow. But yeah, thanks to everyone's help. We didn't have to, and I managed to also found more money in other places. So we got over that line. Now we don't have to get a loan anymore, which is wonderful. That's a huge burden off my family's shoulders. And we're very thankful. Me and Keely, like, we're beset with emotion. Like, we don't know how to handle this. Like, the love. So praise Jesus, praise God, and thank you, obviously, for all the help. And I'll keep everyone posted on how it goes in the end. But all I've got to do now is just pay back my father the $4,500 I owe him as well. So we're not completely out of the woods, but we avoided having to get an extremely high interest loan, which I'm very thankful for. You could have gotten a bigger loan for $4,000 for a lot less percent interest and immediately paid back the cash. That was the difference. Says, well, no, honestly, we did what we could. We looked everywhere. And we were not getting good interest rates on our, whenever we applied for a loan. We were just not getting good. No way. It was like 34% to 40% APR. And because we had to spread it out over 5 years to keep the cost down, the amount we actually would have paid back was ridiculous in the end. But the loans that were advertised, you know, were telling us like 6%. But when we applied, they wouldn't offer us that. It was way higher. It's just ridiculous. It's just the way the world works. They want to keep you trapped and enslaved into debt, don't they? So I've managed to avoid that, which is, again, wonderful. And I can't be happier. Sounds like the Oregon Trail, says Wendy, when I described how terrible that time would have been. There aren't that many of us yet, Joshua, says Richard. That's true. I mean, there are actually, when you think about the Little Season community, you know, which I consider myself a member, I don't post as much content on that topic anymore because I feel like I'm just a broken record beating a dead horse if I keep going with that, and I don't want to be pigeonholed, but I believe it, you know, and I still have my videos up and I'll still talk about it. But our community is not that big. I'd say maybe there's like 30,000 of us, maybe, realistically, something like that. It's not a lot. It's not, we're not making that much of a but the thing is, the message is so profound, and when people hear it, it's like, wait, what? And I think it's going to get exponential. I think it's going to grow a lot over the next like 10 years from what we've managed to accomplish here in our few years, our 5 to 6 years, kind of getting this idea out from the humble beginnings of like exploring Tartaria and Conspiracy R Us and people like that kind of introducing the idea. And many of us kind of picked it up a few years later and rolled with it, like myself. And I feel like we got the ball rolling now that it's just gonna snowball and get bigger and become something else. But it's still so small right now, and who knows if it'll gain enough traction in time before the end comes anyway. Who knows? Who honestly knows? I can't predict the future. So I don't know. Just keep the faith and do the work and make disciples. Do what you can, you know? I wonder if people like us get higher interest rates than the normies. It could be that. Who honestly knows? Usury banking is from Satan, says Stephen. It is. It absolutely is. And I don't want to lie in the pockets of bankers. You know who I mean. You know what I mean. But again, if anyone still wants to help out, I'm open to any help at all. Again, links down below. Join Patreon, get access to some free content. Message me about getting a signed copy of the book when those batches come in. Just keep your eyes out. Like I said, this one's spoken for by Sharon now. Just do what you can. Like I said, I've got the entry tier is like $7.50 or something, which is like £4 in English money. And you get access to everything on Patreon. So there are ways to support me where you get something in return. And I do want to make sure you guys get something. Go buy a book on Amazon or something like that. Or again, you can just support me on Patreon, on PayPal. There are ways. I'm sorry, my American audience need to know this. We don't have Venmo or Zelle or things like that here in the UK, and you can't translate them over from American to UK. It just doesn't work. Cash App, we did used to have Cash App, but they got rid of that as well. So I only have PayPal, and people don't like using PayPal. I get that. There's many reasons. It's kind of like my only option here in the UK if I want to get international transfers. It's the easiest option anyway. It's a more convenient one for me. But there is actually another way. GoFundMe is a good way to do it. People have used that option as the alternative. And I have my old GoFundMe from when I first started writing the book, where people had to put pre-orders in for signed copies. It's still running, so if you can always use that if you don't want to use PayPal. The link is below still. The only difference is with GoFundMe is I don't see the money until the end of the next month. There's a big delay on the payout, and that's it really. But it's still viable, and it's still a good option. So that's just, but again, people ask me about Venmo, and it's like, I don't do that. I can't do that. I actually can't. Someone asked me about Bitcoin as well, and I just don't understand it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what I'm doing with Bitcoin. I don't know how that works. People keep asking me about it, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know how to set it up or anything like that. I really don't understand it. People try to explain it to me, and I'm like, what do you mean you mine for Bitcoins online? Like the hidden all of it. What the hell does that mean? Like, I don't get that. I have no idea what that means, and I can't get my head around it. I struggle. Some people, clearly there's smarter people than me out there. But yeah, I have no idea about that. But there you go, guys. But I'm at the... We can leave Shill Town now. I'm talking about money, money, money. I'm sick of money, to be honest. I'm sick of talking about it. But thanks for listening to this random rant. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to have to keep this short and go to bed. It's almost midnight for me. But again, guys, thank you to all those who helped me. I'll keep you posted on the car stuff. Starseeds, crazy. They're coming back with a vengeance. Let's see where this goes over the next few years. I'll do my normal tips for truthers on Friday. I'll get back on schedule with that, and I'll be doing another truth or therapy session on Sunday as usual. I'm gonna try and get some guests on coming in the next few weeks. I'm gonna try and get prepare for the 100th episode special, maybe get a few people on that day, and have a big discussion, maybe like a multi-panel show or something. See if I can pull from my resource of conspiracy theorist friends I've made over the years and see if we can get something going. But yeah, guys, I'll be back soon with more videos. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.